At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Postwrestlingcafe.com. $6 gets you in the door.
When Ryan says when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind to Raw with John Pollock and waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind to Raw. From Monday night, download it Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind to Raw. From Monday night on USA Now on the John and Way, take the mic.
Oh, this is glorious. It's 9:45 and we've already done 40 minutes of news.
Most of the North American audience hasn't even watched Raw yet. I would say most of the world probably hasn't even finished Raw yet.
Yes, I'm sure they have. This aired at 3. This aired in the afternoon for everyone.
Oh, it did? Well, no, yes. I also don't think people have to work. People have lives.
You're right. Maybe you don't think people took off work today to watch the Birmingham Raw to see?
You think people are
Nikki
rushing
Bella,
home after work and
Becky?
Just forget dinner, forget picking up my kids. I'm going home to watch an early edition of Raw.
You know what? It was if Kofi Kingston is in action against Penta, you make additional plans. Well, we are going to be getting to Raw momentarily for the Birmingham edition of the show. But we want to welcome everyone on board here at youtube.com/postwrestling. A shout out to some of our coverage from the weekend. We had Forbidden Door and NXT Heatwave covered on the site. We've got post shows. We had Jack Wannon writing up a storm. Neil Flanagan on
Great
the
job,
ground
Jack.
At the O2 Arena. Neil's going to be very busy this week. He is back on Wednesday for a very special edition. It's Flanagan and Thurston on Wednesday. I will be unable to make it on Wednesday. So Neil is going to be in my place and giving his live report of going to O2 Arena. Neil goes to London. Live report this Wednesday. Then he's back with me on Thursday for Bookmarks, because the man also, I also made him read a book on his trip. He is going to be chatting with me about Death of the Territories by Tim Hornbaker. And then, just because we want to see what this guy, how much weight can we put on his shoulders, he's going to join Way for a Rewind to SmackDown on Friday, because I'm getting out of town. I'm leaving.
Neil is taking over.
Poor Neil. Yeah.
The post-wrestling just entire network here and just doing shows with basically everybody. We're going to get him on the UFC review with Eric and Jack, I'm sure, as well. But yeah, great job to Neil over the past weekend. I'm looking forward to all those shows.
Yes. Also, we announced on Sunday that we are collaborating with the Poison Rana lads for All Out, which is happening Saturday, September the 20th in Toronto. We are taking over the city. Well, at least Gabby's at 309 King Street West. No cover. Come hang out with the Post Wrestling and Poison Rana crew and our listeners. We're going to be doing wrestling karaoke, some of Davey's finest drink specials. We're going to be handing out prizes and just hanging out before All Out. It's a short walk, 10 minutes or so to the Scotiabank Arena. So we're going to be starting things around 2 p.m. on Saturday, September 20th, giving you plenty of time to head over and take in 6+ hours of pro wrestling.
Yes. I'm very much looking forward to this. We haven't done one of these in quite a while. And for us, it's just a great excuse to see listeners and meet people who listen to all of this stuff. So hope to see you guys there.
All right. And then later on this week, we mentioned Bookmarks is going to be out. Also dropping Tuesday. It is.
Is Bookmarks what you're calling it?
Book club. I do too many shows.
Bookmarks is a great name. I believe Lance Storm had it.
Yeah, Lance Storm definitely took that one first. Yeah. Book club. I can't keep track of all these names away. We are also going to be dropping our latest review of Unreal on Tuesday, chatting about the John Cena heel turn. So this is episode 4. Way and I will go through that. We have one more review to go. And that's going to drop next week. And everyone is going to have access, because next week, for 1 week only, it is the Post Wrestling Open House. we are going to be giving everyone a 1 week sample of all the shows we do on the Post Wrestling Cafe. That means you are going to get the final edition of our WWE Unreal review. You are going to get a Rewind Away covering Survivor Series 1993, plus Collision Course and all the XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown with a post pro res thrown in there. All you have to do is sign up for a free account at postwrestlingcafe.com. There's a free tier. It doesn't require you to put any payment information in there. You just have to sign up, and next week, it's our open house. You get to sample all of the shows on the Post Wrestling Cafe. 1 week only.
We've never done this before. It's an idea John had, and John suggested, and it's our way of just giving a lot of you guys who might be curious about what we offer here but don't necessarily want to, you know, pay $6, perfectly fine. Here's 1 week of, I have to say, some of the best content of the entire month available for free to all of you guys who choose to sign up for a free account at postwrestlingcafe.com.
All right, so check out all of that. We'll be reminding you about that later in the week. On to Birmingham, England, the site of Raw at the BP Pulse Live. And I would be remiss if I did not correct the record that in all of our discussions about arenas that AEW is running over the next couple of months, that we make it clear, I make it clear, that the Collision in December at the Utilita Arena in Cardiff is a 5,000 to 7,000 seat arena. And I had mistaken it with the Kudos Bank Arena in Sydney, Australia, which holds 21,000 people.
Oh, gotcha.
But before you say aha, that was not actually the comment that upset me.
Oh, okay.
I will leave that a mystery. No. So anyway, Raw we go to, way. This is they are going to be running shows later this week. They're doing shows in Manchester, Leeds, and Cardiff. They're actually running at the Utilita Arena this week. And then they go to SmackDown in Lyon and Clash in Paris. And a week from today, they have Raw in Paris. So lots of European shows over the next week or so. WrestleTix final number 12,261. Many to see Roman Reigns, who comes out. I think this was the first hour of Raw, was him coming out for this segment. He walks out, crowds chanting, they're singing. This is just eating up minutes. And Reigns says he has big plans for the rest of this year. I mean, we already know he's going to be in Street Fighter.
The biggest plan, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And as well, big plans for next year. He says, I'm not the same guy I used to be. So the crowd chants, yes, you are. But says, maybe I can be. And he goes back to Cody Rhodes' prediction a year and a half ago that Reigns was going to lose everything. And the vision has carried through on that prediction. I've got no bloodline, but then the crowd starts yeeting. And he says, yes, Jay deserves to be in this fatal four-way on Sunday. He won their tag match at SummerSlam, and he's got the rematch clause. So go F yourself, all you haters commenting about Jay. And then as he goes to address Bronson Reed, Paul Heyman interrupts as him and Bronson walk out, and Bronson has secured a new Tribal Thief t-shirt complete with shoe design on it.
Love it.
Has Brayden already ordered this?
Five of them, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be a hot seller in all cities moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Heyman notes that it was 5 years ago this week when Heyman became Roman's wise man and they changed the industry together. He says, I miss you, my tribal chief. I still love you, but I've come out here to disrespect you. Heyman then starts singing Bronson Reed in the style of the fans, which I cannot tell you how much I am starting to just detest this song.
Yeah.
It's too much. It's not just a WWE thing that they used to do of ramming things down people's throat. It's like the fans that do it too in these sense. The Fandango deal all over again for me.
Once the North Americans have appropriated it, I mean, no, I really do
they
think
ruin
it's time.
It. They ruin
it's
it.
It's time for the rest of the world to move on and to give us something else. There are a lot of different songs that we could sing names to. Let's find a new one, everybody, okay?
Heyman says that you fans aren't tough enough to live in Manchester, nor rich enough to live in London, and says that I can't give Roman the tough love, but Bronson Reed can. Reigns calls Heyman and says that on Sunday, you're going to kiss my ass because I'm going to whoop his ass. And then Bronson gets the microphone and he's got to cut a big promo and a serious one, too. He says that my tribe isn't civilized. your tattoos are paid for, mine are earned, and said, I'm the Samoan that your dad and uncle warned you about. And Roman responds, this guy's Samoan? I didn't know this. He says, well, your ass belongs to me, and tells him to come down to this ring, return my shoes, and apologize to these people. The crowd is chanting, give his shoes back. And Reed warns him, you don't want me to come down. So Reigns goes after him, and we have a big brawl with security out. The tsunami gets stopped with a Superman punch, and then Reigns leaps over security as they continue to fight up the aisle to the floor. This went like no less than like 23, 24 minutes. This was an extremely long segment, but I thought the most interesting part of this was Bronson Reed getting a chance to cut like a real promo for kind of the first time in this Vision presentation of him, where he's largely just been the big muscle standing alongside the other talkers.
Mm-hmm. I really do wonder if the plan was always for Reed to get the spot against Roman for this show, or if it was because the shoe spot got over so well that we just like it just became like the snowball of momentum that has now resulted in what felt like a really strong month for Bronson Reed's ascension within the Vision. In either case, I mean, I'm so glad that they found this for him. I mean, for a long time he was a tsunami guy, which was really cool on its own, but now he's got like a bit more of a sense of humor, a bit more of a personality attached to him, and now we even got a little bit of a backstory too.
The way it was coming out of SummerSlam, like you really felt this was going to be a five-way with Roman, because he was like that night after SummerSlam on Raw, like they really made it like a five-way deal, because it didn't really make sense to have Reed or Bron Breakker be in a match when Seth is defending the title. So I think you very well could have seen the five-way, and for whatever reason, I don't know what the reason was, and they went this way with Reign. They just isolated Reigns with Bronson, and like it's so crazy, like this shoe thing, again, you cannot tell me that this was anything mapped out. It feels like it was just something that just, it's caught on and it's given this guy something. And it's not like you can just live off this thing, but it's been enough that it's been this spark for Bronson Reed to kind of find his identity, because he was one that was kind of didn't have one in the Vision. He was sort of like the missing puzzle piece.
Agreed. And so I guess I'm left wondering, at Clash in Paris, I mean, I have to think Roman would beat him, but how do you have Roman win while retaining whatever's kind of made Bronson Reed feel special, right? Who else's shoes can he take, I guess? I also thought the promo segment was notable that you know, where you had Roman, look a little bit weak and admit to, you know, having been defeated and having lost a lot. You know, that's not something we usually hear from this particular character. He also, I think, gave his support to Jey Uso to go for the championship, which is also something that has been very uncharacteristic of the Tribal Chief character and continues what has been, I would say, a bit of character growth that he's shown over the past, well, however many months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Clash in Paris will be interesting as well, because we also, like, we know Cody is, like, off there, like, doing his Guile role, and, like, Reigns has to go do this as well at some point. So, I mean, you could probably have him more disappear less.
He could win and then not show up.
That's it. I don't think they necessarily have to worry about covering up. I don't think we're getting a Will Ospreay angle with Roman Reigns on Sunday.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
We've got so much going on at the Post Wrestling Cafe. $6 a month gets you access to the full Post Wrestling experience. The newest Rewind Away will be going back to 2001 as we will review King of the Ring, featuring Edge winning the crown and Kurt Angle taking on Shane McMahon in a very well-remembered street fight. Plus, it's all of our reviews of the WWE Unreal series on Netflix, XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, and so much more. All of it can be yours at postwrestlingcafe.com. Finn Balor and JD McDonagh spot Dominic speaking with El Grande Americano yet again, and Dom once again assuring them it's all under control. So this is leading somewhere, to that this has got to pay off somewhere with El Grande. JD McDonagh took on Dragon Lee. I thought this had the potential to be a very good match. Finn Balor is in the corner, and Dragon Lee hits this really deep dragon screw onto JD in the corner. Balor gets on the apron. He doesn't even do anything, and he gets ejected. So Dragon Lee
was like cocking his fist back and looking like he was about to do it, and I guess that was enough.
Well, where was this referee at the Knox Pro event? Balor gets on the apron and is ejected. Lee hits a dive to the corner, to the floor. And then we come back from break, and Dragon Lee just hits this nasty Liger bomb for a two count. Double stomp hits, and then Dominic appears, and AJ is there, jumps Dominic, and throws him into the crowd. There's a running elbow by Lee, who catches JD off guard and wins with Operation Dragon in 8 minutes and 47 seconds. You know, fine TV match, but again, if you were not watching this live, this was 8:47 with a 3 minute break in the middle.
So I was watching live, and my video just glitched out.
Mine did too. That had to have been a Netflix issue, because I had the same problem where it was almost like in slow motion and no audio.
So then I completely missed all the AJ Dom stuff until like they were just basically ejected. I mean, I could assume what happened. This is such a pattern, like, you know,
yeah,
series of matches. But yeah, it was weird watching.
Yeah, it was very glitchy. Mine just came back as AJ was attacking Dominic on the floor. Jackie interviews LA Knight, who would have a big role on tonight's show. He's going to be facing Bron Breakker in the main event. He doesn't think it was an accident that CM Punk knocked him through a table last week and never bothered to help him up afterwards either. He thinks Punk is just trying to take everyone out before Clash in Paris so he can have Seth to himself. And another good promo from LA Knight. Rusev is in his darkened room addressing Sheamus because we have a good old-fashioned Donnybrook, which unfortunately Rusev did not have to repeat here. He has been programmed to crush. He will hurt anyone he wants, and he says he will hurt Sheamus in an arena packed with people just like you. Cowards. And it's impossible to be good when you're destined to be great.
So listen, like, this has been the case with Rusev even back in AEW, where these sort of promos, they sound really good, but nothing ever really resonates coming out of him. At least not in his WWE run to me. Like,
are you saying these promos are good, but they're not great?
Like, they sound good, but they just don't really stick with you. And they just, like, this was the same issue that I think Bray Wyatt had, that I think Aleister Black, you know, often has, where like the words sound really nice, but they just don't really grip you, you know, the way that I would say you'd want them to, I guess.
There's just no dimensions to this guy. It's just, and he's not the only one, but just one that, I mean, he's just this big brute of a wrestler. And I to be quite honest, I thought he had a lot kind of more roundedness to him in the AEW presentation when it came to these promos that did have a bit more substance to them. Not to say it was perfect in AEW either, but it's sort of like they're promising you a hard hitting match on Sunday. Yeah. That's kind of the selling point of this match. And it's the blow off they are making it feel like.
I think his is the type of like character that is so at this point, maybe one dimensional, like I'm a tough guy. I have like kind of all this pent up anger that I need to let go of, that I think would pair really well with another type of wrestler that is completely different in personality, you know, just as a way to show contrast. I mean, like, it's
Otis.
To me, maybe, but it's the type of balance that like Sami Zayn was able to strike with the Bloodline that to me completely took the Bloodline to a different level. So I hope he can find something like that.
Backstage, Judgment Day is all in chaos as Balor thought that Dominic had JD's back. Raquel says Liv would not have wanted all of you arguing. And Dominic suggests that Balor go handle AJ Styles tonight and eliminate this problem. So Balor agrees. He's going to do it all by himself and go speak to Adam Pearce. And that would be a match that would be added later to the show.
Years ago, AJ versus Finn Balor was presented as like a bit of a dream match. And now it's just like
Graves kind of even alluded to that. He's like, you know, this could have headlined a PLE and now we're just getting it out of nowhere on TV.
We are so past and we've like overused Bullet Club nostalgia so much that this means nothing. And like, to be fair, it's been so long that these two have really, they're much more well known for other things other than the Bullet Club anymore. But yeah, it's just a little bit striking to me that like, hey, here's AJ versus Finn. Yeah.
Penta versus Kofi Kingston. We have Grayson Waller, who has now started a signature to get the Mexican Destroyer banned. He has got 28 signatures, including Corey Graves, as Xavier Woods is wearing a neck brace to sell last week's Mexican Destroyer. Kingston hit a splash onto the back, and then as Penta goes for a dive, Kingston runs away up the aisle. So in the ring, Kingston gets into control, stops a Penta driver to hit the boom drop, and then Kingston stops a Destroyer, and Penta goes from the apron for a flying head scissors and doesn't get any grip around Kofi's head. This was just totally missed. Mm-hmm. Penta driver in the ring, Kofi kicks out, and then Penta knocks Waller from the apron, hits a Tope Conhiro onto Kingston and Woods, and then Penta's on the buckle, gets distracted by Waller, and that leads to the Trouble in Paradise and Kofi pinning Penta in 10 minutes and 20 seconds. I guess we're now one apiece in this battle over the destroyed sombrero, and is Grayson Waller going to be the rubber opponent?
We're one apiece? Okay. I guess so. I don't know, man. Like, I thought it was a very average match. And I think the feud is, to me, very, very cold. And I think that it's a bit of a problem with just the New Day tone, in that like they're still hovering around this sort of very jokey comedic space, but they're unable to me, attract any real heat and really build any sort of like interesting, significant storyline with a dance partner here in Penta, who just kind of feels like he's just existing, you know, on this division. I really don't know what the appeal or the point of all of this is, other than perhaps the idea of reuniting Penta with Phoenix and perhaps Andrade, so that you can get a reunited Lucha Brothers plus Andrade in a bit of a 3-on-3 scenario against the New Day. I just don't know.
The Lucha Brothers and their best friend.
Yeah, they're Grayson Waller, Andrade.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Rhea Ripley is warming up and Io Sky walks in and says to Rhea, "Thank you for having my back. You know, Kairi and Asuka, they're my family, but they're not happy about you getting involved in their business. So we have to keep a distance." And we can see the Kabuki Warriors in the background. They, I guess, are now our Raw version of the Wyatt Six. And Rhea, "I understand." And they hug. And Io says, "Good luck tonight." If there is not some online fan fiction coming out of this storyline, this is just like manna from heaven for fans.
It felt like it was directly written to make you think that.
This was totally written as like a romance with like the family does not approve of Rhea Ripley dating Io Sky, and yet they're in love.
It is actually a very classic second generation immigrant type of ordeal. Okay, this is the person who's moved to this country wants to date outside their race, and the very traditional family says, "No, you must not. You must marry somebody from your own background."
Yeah, Asuka's the father, and I think Kairi's the mother, who is tears over totally. Her daughter. Who, "I will do what I want, mother." Yeah. Yeah, I think everyone had probably the same takeaway from this. And this just struck a different tone than where they've been going with these.
Very much so. Especially Rhea, the way Rhea's been acting and just like, look at these eyes, you know, come on.
I mean, the music we could put under these, like this the video package writes itself.
This is not just a tag team. Come on.
Then there was a video recapping Naomi's announcement last week and relinquishing the title. And Pierce meets with Stephanie Vaquer, who says, "You are the number one contender. We have an opponent in mind. I just need a week to get everything finalized." And Stephanie's like, "Okay, you brought me all the way here to England to tell me, give me a week."
And
so they are not going to be settling this on the pay-per-view. And
just
wherever.
To play, no pun intended, just to play devil's advocate here, okay? Uh-huh. Does it ever, like, do you think it's possible that some of these talents want the excuse to travel? Maybe she wants a tour of England. Maybe she wants to grab a fucking Greg's cabbage roll, okay?
Did you see Grayson Waller posted a photo of Greg's today?
I have not, no. Yeah, what would he say?
He just posted a photo outside of a Greg's.
Okay. And that was he enjoying himself?
I don't know. He didn't give us a review of the sausage roll.
He watches AEW. Is that the implication?
I guess
so. He's a Will Ospreay fan.
Listen, if you're Grayson Waller, you're going for anything for engagement at this point.
Gotcha. Okay.
I would just say, listen, if you got to tell me this, I could just get a whole extra week in Paris. Like, let's just bypass. No offense, Birmingham, but like, where are you more likely to be your destination vacation? Like, hey, honey, we're going to Birmingham.
I guess you do have a point. At I am John Pollock is where you can DM him.
Yeah, everybody. I've upset everybody. Yeah. It's what I do. Becky Lynch comes out and she says, "This was a big place in my journey. I had my tryout here in Birmingham. It was a dump then, and it's a dump now." She goes on. Awesome. God, is Becky just on fire at the moment. She insults Birmingham City, Aston Villa, and responds that to the call-out that Nikki Bella was going to make. Says, "I don't answer call-outs like I'm some dog obeying orders." So out comes Nikki. But it's just not Nikki Bella. This is 2025 promo Nikki, and she says, "If you're not a dog, Becky, why are you acting like a little bitch?" And they just go back and forth. Becky calls her negative Nikki and says, "I call the shots, not you, broken neck Barbie." And Nikki says, "Yeah, but broken neck Barbie kicked your ass last week." Becky brings up that your twin, who was the better twin, she's the one that paved the way. "And I don't care. I just want to replace you." Nikki says that, "Becky, you used to be the scared girl in the corner that was Charlotte Flair's sidekick, and you're desperate for relevance." Becky starts to blame the audience for trying to take over the chant, stating, "Wasn't 800 years of oppression of Ireland enough for you?" I was like, this was great. Amazing. Nikki comes back and says, "You're a cheat. You're cheap. And you might be champion, but you're also another C word." And Netflix goes, "Holy shit." And Nikki calls her a coward. Becky says, "That's worse than the other C word I thought you were going to say." And she is talked into giving her a title match. This was the female equivalent of saying you've got a small dick. This was Becky forced to defend herself and put the title up.
Forget, like, you know, kidnapping somebody and threatening to light them on fire. Just threatening to call them one of the
C words. Yeah.
One of them, yeah.
And Becky will give the match, but it will be in Paris. She is not wrestling in Birmingham, stating the only good thing that came out of here died a month ago. But at least Ozzy Osbourne had the genius to move to Los Angeles. And Nikki just rips the belt away, holds it up, and says that Becky's name will never be as big as Bella. And decks Becky. Becky tries for the manhandle slam. She avoids the rack attack 2.0. And Nikki just throws the belt back at Becky. I don't know what has transformed Nikki in this feud, but these are some of the best promos Nikki has cut in back-to-back weeks. I thought this segment was great. I really thought these two did another great job. This was better than last week.
Yeah, they've been very strong. I mean, I never thought that a Nikki Bella, Becky Lynch feud would be built on the strength of its promo segments that I'm kind of like, I've been anticipating every single week. This was another one. I mean, whether it just be themselves or like the maybe a great group of writers that are coming up with some of these lines. I mean, everything's been hitting incredibly well. And I think it's just kind of really elevated what was otherwise a feud that I didn't really know I wanted. I mean, they've been, you know, hitting on a bit of their history together, but it really has been a bit more than that. It's been a much more sort of updated and relevant sort of like form of trash talking that at once is provocative, but also very witty. So I think they've both done a very good job.
And it was weird because They aired the segment with Nikki last week during the commercial on Netflix. And the way that promo went was like she wanted the title match this week. And then they never announced the title match. And then it just got shifted to Nikki calls out Becky, which actually also didn't happen on this show. She didn't really call her out.
I really do wonder how much of this Clash in Paris show has been really shuffled around in the last week.
I think absolutely. I'm guessing that they were probably figuring like, we're going to put a women's match. Is it going to be this one or is it going to be the women's title? And they're going with this one. Like, that's what it feels like, because we know this was not going to be on the Paris card.
Yeah. I mean, I guess your alternative would be Stephanie Vaquer versus whoever. I would suggest Nikki versus Becky, higher on star power and maybe more PLE appropriate if that is their intent.
And let's be honest, this feels like the top belt on Raw now for
Becky.
The women.
Yeah.
Yes. So. Yeah. Very good segment for these two, and we'll see how the match goes. I mean, it should be a fantastic crowd on Sunday, and that should be helping all the matches.
They've put a lot of work into the promos to make it a hot feud, so we'll see if the crowd responds. Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Jackie speaks with CM Punk backstage, and he is asked about LA Knight. He's not trying to be anyone's friend. He was just trying to get the people on the same page, says Knight was wrong, and about him trying to put him through the table, and I don't really care that he fell through that table like a clumsy idiot. The title was ripped from me at SummerSlam. I get it back Sunday, and I'm painting my masterpiece with their blood in Paris. Quite the visual. And then Sheamus's video retort. He is welcoming Rusev back to WWE. When he heard he was coming back, he cringed because it was the comeback no one wanted nor asked for, because Rusev lost his love for the game by speaking in a darkened room and bullying smaller talent. But something changed over the past several weeks in the matches that they had. It reminded people who the real Rusev is. He has now won back Sheamus's respect and wants his A game on Sunday. I want the old Rusev back, and I made you relevant again.
Mm-hmm. I mean, did you take this as maybe a bit of a criticism from Sheamus of what we've been saying, that like Rusev hasn't really been that interesting since he's come back? And at least
I think every Rusev fan has had this same look on their face since he's come back.
So he wants to bring the old Rusev back. What are we talking about? Which old Rusev? Because there have been several iterations. Does he want to bring
the long hair, the one that's endorsed by Vladimir Putin,
the one with the hot, flexible wife with the tank? That one?
Correct. Or, could they fit a tank into the arena in Paris?
I doubt it. I don't know about that.
Probably not.
How about Rusev Day? You know, how about Aiden English? Can we get him back? He's kind of part of the family now. No.
I guess so. Yeah. I forgot about Aiden English in that whole deal. Okay. I don't know. These matches have been fine, but they haven't to me been like these matches that's like, oh my God, these Sheamus Rusev classics. But that's kind of how Sheamus is plugging them, which I guess you've got to build them up as.
I think they'll have a good match, like just being able to brawl around the crowd, having a lot of like big stunts planned for them.
This should be the big match, and hopefully this is Rusev's best performance since the return.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Rhea Ripley against Roxanne Perez. It went 10 minutes and 39 seconds. Perez worked on the knee for most of the match. Raquel would get involved every now and then. Raquel grabs Perez's leg to prevent a razor's edge, and then Ripley goes after Raquel, and this allows Perez to land a Frankensteiner. Then Rhea lands a headbutt, hits the razor's edge, and as Ripley takes out Raquel with a dropkick on the floor, she stops Pop Rocks, hits the headbutt and Riptide, as Ripley gets a clean win over Roxanne Perez.
I really like this match. I mean, for a TV match that I guess I don't have such high expectations as always for in comparison to a pay-per-view or PLE, I thought these two did the most that they could with that perfect that amount of TV time. You had a nice little knee targeting story and some good body part selling from Rhea Ripley. Good speed. I thought everything that I saw in between outside of the commercial break looked very technically perfect. Roxanne, I think, is just amazing. You know, like she She's going to
be the future of this division.
She's so smooth and so just proficient at this. And I mean, if she could stay healthy, yeah, she's going to become a massive star. And they're building some to Raquel versus Rhea here. But I think the obvious tease is a future tag team match involving Ripley and Io versus these two.
Well, yes, the post-match, Raquel gets involved. And Rhea is trying to fight them off, but then Perez gets involved, grabs her leg. They double team her. Io runs down, and together they fight off Perez and Raquel. More to come with those two.
It was just missing like a rain cloud, you know, and a nice score.
Yeah, something very, I don't know, like some Eric Clapton or something to play. The Vision are backstage, and Rollins knows what Bronson is capable of because I felt it myself, and predicts that he will destroy Roman at Clash, and Breaker will make sure LA Knight doesn't make it to Paris on Sunday. Then Sky comes to check on Rhea Ripley's knee, and Rhea says, "Thank you, Io." But then Asuka, angry father, runs in with mother and screams at her daughter for seeing this man, and warns Sky to stop speaking with her. Sky asks Kairi, "You need to trust me." And Kairi is in tears. "I'm so sorry." And Michael Cole says, "This is getting weirder and weirder." So Michael Cole's in on this too.
Interesting choice of words. I love Kairi in all of this. Like, her role is just like the concern, well, parent or just best friend, and all this being literally caught in the middle here, has been really fun to watch. And I think she's going to be the big shock, you know, when it comes to the big turn.
Kairi.
Kairi. Yeah. Yeah. And I can't wait for this to happen. I think this is building nicely. Now, listen, like, this is hardly the most deep sort of like narrative that I think we're watching in professional wrestling. But what
I don't care. It's something of substance for Asuka, who sorely needs something.
I was going to say, like, what other show in an English speaking, originating from an English speaking part of the world, will feature three Japanese people who don't natively speak that language acting out a scene mainly speaking in English? Like, this is something that is very unique to professional wrestling television, and therefore I give a lot more leeway to maybe the simplicity of the storytelling. In the end, I think it's effective, and that's a lot more than they've done with non-native English speakers in a very long time throughout their history.
Then we go to AJ and Finn Balor, the dream match. And first off, they congratulate Ash by Elegance on winning the Knockouts title. Corey says, "Yeah, I was watching Heatwave in the middle of the night." And Cole says, "I was asleep, but I caught up in the morning."
Yeah, I'm not a nerd like you.
Yeah, I wasn't staying up till 2 a.m. to watch Heatwave. Balor sends him off the apron to the floor, and they break. There's a swinging backbreaker and Pele kick by AJ Ushigaroshi, but then Balor ducks the phenomenal forearm, and he hits this shotgun dropkick. Dinosaur dropkick for some of you. And AJ, dude, he got rocked into this corner. It was like a explosive went off and sent him into the corner. Coup de grace misses, and AJ rolls for the calf crusher. It's avoided, but then AJ just rolls into the Styles Clash, and he beats Finn clean in 8 minutes and 4 seconds.
Yeah. A good TV match. I mean, again, not much grandeur to the pairing, especially considering the history they've had. But still, in the end, these are two incredibly strong wrestlers, and I thought they had a good TV match here.
It was these two that we're going to give the raw effort, which is not a knock, but it's it comes with a ceiling of what you're going to get in 8 minutes on TV. It was fine. Jey Uso is seen speaking to someone off camera. It's Roman Reigns, and Reigns warns him about trusting someone like CM Punk. "You need to stop worrying about having friends. This is your house. It's not about making friends. It's locking down these moments and creating a legacy. It's not about the moves. It's about the moments, Jay."
I mean, if there ever was a moment wrestler, wouldn't it be Roman Reigns? I mean, really a character that was born out of like the, pandemic era television that really did not put as much of a priority on the wrestling as the in-ring theater, right?
Yes. The moment maker himself.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns. And then our favorite ongoing character shift, Bayley, is in. It's all silent. And then we get her inner babyface voice. Bayley in NXT and seeing her
with Ponytail Bayley.
Yeah. Ponytail Bayley, sure. Yeah, they show clips of her winning the NXT Women's title and telling her, "You've always been a champion and you've always believed in yourself." But then we hear the heel voice that runs her down and says, "No one talks about you anymore." And they show shots of Bayley destroying those Bayley buddies. And the two competing voices are arguing as Bayley says, "Stop."
Yeah.
That's it. And somehow Lyra can hear all these voices because she's concerned about her friend and is reporting this to Adam Pearce, who is like, "Yeah, I don't know what's going on. It's not a problem for me. We're going to continue to air these." How can Lyra hear these?
No, she watches the TV.
How can we hear these?
How we, you know, again, like I said, they have special microphones that can now, you know, it's a Lee Fitting a technique that he's brought over from ESPN where he can.
This is going to get them the Emmy.
I am interested. Okay, I'm interested to mainly see how this Three Faces of Bayley character might play out on screen outside of the room. Like, will she?
Is this going to be the introduction of Pam?
Sure. This is Pam we're watching.
Yes.
I guess, what do you call Hugger? Hugger Bayley. Then we have a role model, right?
Yeah.
So those are the
three. Could be the three. Sure.
Yeah. And so, how will it play out in the arena in a match?
We'll see. I mean, it's Bayley is at a point where I think, like, if this is pitched to you, you're going in with an open mind, and like maybe this will help me. It's not like I'm at this peak of my career that I want to ruin what I've got. It's like maybe this turns out great.
More importantly, is she sharing notes with Ron Killing / R-Truth, who again is working a very similar gimmick on the other end? Although something tells me they're not putting as much effort into that one as they are this.
Yeah, we'll see what that follow up is this week if he can get to the right Paris.
Could be Paris, Ontario.
Yeah. Judgment Day enter and they talk to Pierce and they state, "You've got to control this AJ Styles situation. He cost JD the match tonight. He cost Dom the mega championship." So Pierce has an idea, and Dom thinks it's to ban AJ from the building next week. But instead, Pierce makes Dominic and AJ for the IC title in Paris next week. AJ in Paris. Mm-hmm. And Dom says, quote, "Charles Xavier, this does not work for me."
Mm-hmm. Yes, because he's bald, you see.
I got it.
Yeah.
Not in a wheelchair, though.
No. I had thought, you know, AJ versus Dom would have been on the pay-per-view, but I mean, it's the Raw show in the same building the very next night feels just as appropriate. We're going to get that wonderful crowd singing those songs for AJ.
The only thing I want out of Raw next week, I don't care what the match quality is, I don't care what happens, I don't care what the follow-up is. If you give me AJ Styles endearing himself to this audience and speaking in French, two thumbs up show. That's all.
Like, what would constitute speaking in French to you? Like, is a simple bonjour?
No, bonjour. A sentence.
That would be a tough ask. Like, what can you come up? Can you speak a French sentence?
With
a bibliothèque. Say.
Yeah, he probably couldn't either.
He could do it. I don't think he will.
I'm not saying off the top of his head. I mean, he's got a week to practice this, but
I don't think he needs to. He just needs to come out and like this crowd will be going nuts for him.
We've got so much going on at the Post Wrestling Cafe. $6 a month gets you access to the full Post Wrestling experience. The newest Rewind Away will be going back to 2001 as we will review King of the Ring, featuring Edge winning the crown and Kurt Angle taking on Shane McMahon in a very well-remembered street fight. Plus, it's all of our reviews of the WWE Unreal series on Netflix, XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, and so much more. All of it can be yours at postwrestlingcafe.com. The main event was Bron Breakker and LA Knight. Reigns attacks Bron on the way to the ring backstage. So LA Knight gets involved. They remove Roman from the building, so he cannot get involved. LA Knight attacks him, and they make their way out to the arena. The crowd's pretty heated for this, and they make their way ringside. And Knight gets out of the way of the flying clothesline, so Bron crashes on the desk and gets his head smashed in. the announcers are really putting LA Knight over, that they have never seen this aggression from him before. This guy beat Seth at Saturday Night's main event, and he's the only one in this Sunday's four-way that has to wrestle tonight. So they were trying to really put him over in this, probably knowing that the outcome here was going to be him taking the fall. But before we got there, Braun takes over. Heyman is here in the corner, and we see Knight get thrown into the steps. There is a Breakensteiner, and Knight gets in and kicks out at the count of two. So Heyman gives Braun Breaker some advice. He tells him to break him in half, and later tells him, finish this prick off. Prick did not get censored, so that's our Netflix line that they are willing. Mm. The straps come down, and Knight stops a spear with a boot. Then he leaps to the top from the mat for a superplex that looked great, follows it with the top rope elbow, but then Seth Rollins' music plays. And Knight chases Rollins, gets speared on the floor, crowds chanting for CM Punk. Knight eats another spear in the ring, and Braun wins in 13 minutes and 46 seconds, with Cole noting that Seth never made physical contact, therefore there was not a disqualification. I thought LA Knight, I thought this was one of his better matches. I thought he looked great in this match. Like, this is a guy that I think he's really upped his game this year overall. And I thought this was one of his best performances I've seen that come to mind. So I thought, like, the character stuff has always been there, but here is a guy that, you know, he is getting up there in age, but here, you know, to go 13 minutes here with a guy like Braun Breaker. And I thought he looked very good, like, to go into this match. It's I thought it was very noteworthy.
I agree with you. I agree that like, LA Knight to me was a standout, and I do feel like, I mean, a lot of it is because we are still comparing our expectations of LA Knight to maybe what we're seeing today. It's not like, I'm not calling him Will Ospreay, everybody, but like, he's greatly improved, and I think, like,
he does not look out of place in a, like, a main event that he's going to be in this Sunday.
Yes, yes, yes. And I think, like, showing the WWE, like, sort of brass that he has a capacity to improve and to take notes and to just change, I think that's the thing that is, you know, keeping him afloat amongst, like, the conversation of who might be your next title contender slash champion, right? So it's this recognition that I hope the audience will be, you know, starting to react to that much more. I mean, he's already over, like, you know, as big as any other babyface. But I think to really ascend to the next level, like, he needs these sort of steps, either, you know, get, like, buzzed about matches, or to create some sort of elevation in character, or to receive a big booking win like Jey Uso did at the Rumble, for instance. I don't think that time is right now, though. He still very much feels like a sort of, like, low on the card type of upper tier guy, if that makes any sense.
So Jey Uso comes out to even the numbers because Rollins and Braun are attacking Knight. And it ends with a pedigree is delivered to Knight. And then Jey and Knight are both down, and the crowd is just buzzing, waiting for CM Punk. His music hits, and there's a giant blast, and the music ends. The crowd keeps singing as Punk fights off Braun and stares down Rollins. But Punk and Rollins get into it in the ring. Braun pulls Rollins away. Not going to repeat what the crowd was chanting at Seth, but it got censored. Punk steps over LA Knight to go lift up Jey. And then Knight and Punk shove one another and continue to argue as Jey is playing peacemaker. Seth tells Braun, watch, they're doing it for us. And Punk stops a BFT, shoves LA Knight into Jey, and then a GTS is avoided by Knight, and Jey super kicks LA Knight. And then as he's standing with Punk, Jey super kicks CM Punk out of nowhere. And the crowd pops for this, and the announcers note how he's taken Roman's advice, and it is Jey that is booked to stand strong at the end of the show as Seth is watching on.
I like this closing scene. You know, it was really well set up with the conversation with Roman earlier between Jey, and I thought it showed some form of character growth in Jey, stemming from, I guess even last week he hinted that, hey, like, why do you want us to work together so much, CM Punk? I mean, it is a match where it's everybody for themselves. And this week he took that to another level by actually physically attacking CM Punk because, well, he's not in it for friends. He's in it for moments. and he's in it for his family's legacy. So I like that we're seeing a little bit more of a mean streak in Jay. I think that'll really help maybe advance his character a little bit more. So in a great closing scene with all the crowd eating.
Yeah, I think like the four ways are sometimes tough to build up for some of these shows.
Especially one where I don't see a title change happening. So
I don't think anyone sees a title change happening. I think it's one like how interested in you are. And listen, we've seen it enough times. Like the WWE has the four-way formula down pretty solid, and I don't doubt we're going to have a pretty great match. And probably some involvement with Braun, because he's not booked on this show at all. So I could see him getting involved in this in some way and maybe even peeling off with somebody. Like a Punk and a Braun. Like that would be, if you're going to come up with some detours for Punk, you could do a lot worse than a Breaker, for instance.
We get Roman and Braun as well. Like if Roman beats.
Yeah. That's a big match. I don't know. Like that is something they will get to at some point as well. Maybe sooner. There you go. That was Raw. I would say overall that I thought this was like a good go home show for, like, I was pleasantly surprised with Braun Breaker and LA Knight and how much I enjoyed that match. Rhea Ripley and Roxanne Perez was another good match. And like you, I do think like this whole comedy aside, I do think like the Io Rhea dynamic with the Kabuki Warriors, I think it is going to turn into like an intriguing story that's going to help all of them. Because Rhea is sort of just in this position where it kind of feels like it's our big star, and come Royal Rumble, we're going to have something big for her. But until then, it's keeping her in something engaging. And this is probably your best bet for something like that. And the others, I mean, Asuka and Kairi desperately need something. And this is that.
With all of them out of the title picture, using that star power to elevate the tag division, I think is very exciting. I mean, it's helpful for them to again, take a break from their title chases, but it also really greatly elevates, if they are going for the championships, then that entire division. And those could be some really, really hot matches with Rhea and Io teaming up against the Kabuki Warriors. Updated card for Clash in Paris at the moment. Five matches we've got. Seth Rollins versus LA Knight versus Jey Uso versus CM Punk for the World Heavyweight Championship. Becky Lynch versus Nikki Bella for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. Sheamus versus Rusev in a Donnybrook match. Logan Paul versus John Cena and Roman Reigns versus Bronson Reed. You think that's it?
Probably. I mean, yeah, it's like they've got a bunch of other programs, but man, they've announced like Sami Zayn and Jacob Fatu for SmackDown. They've announced the IC title match for next Monday. I think they probably keep it at five. I don't see them adding something else on SmackDown.
Cody is off filming a movie, so he won't be a part of it. Yeah, it's already very star-studded with, like, you know, Punk, Rollins, Becky, Cena, Logan Paul, Reigns on the show. So, yeah.
And you would have to figure that, I mean, Roman and Bronson Reed is a very big match for Bronson Reed to kind of have that match to really solidify himself. And, you know, between that, Cena and Logan and the four way, like, you would figure all of those are going to get a ton of time. Like Nikki Bella, that's a pretty big match for her to have as well. Like, that's, you know, it's, you cannot fault at all, like, the buildup for this. Like, they got two really solid promo segments out of it, and now we'll see the match on. So, like, I think it's a very good kind of like B-level show that they've got. That's this is one where I think the five matches are probably a benefit rather than, you know, putting like eight matches on this show, for instance, or something.
And this will be the last one on Peacock,
the end of the Peacock era for PLE's not Saturday night's main event.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know how confusing everyone is?
And not NXT PLEs.
Oh my god, I'm really glad it's a lot simpler for us. But yeah, I do feel for our American listeners. But there you go. The party is not over yet. We are going to be continuing over at forum.postwrestling.com. All members of the Post Wrestling Cafe get the XL edition of this show. You'll get your sample next week, but we've got feedback on the other side. Hit the subscribe button, and coming up Tuesday, it's our final or our second to last review of WWE Unreal, looking at heel turn featuring John Cena at Elimination Chamber. Boy, how things started and how they progressed. Tuesday night, Davey and Braden are back with another edition of Up Next. You've got Flanagan and Thurston on Wednesday at 1 Eastern. And then I'm back with Way on Wednesday night, just looking at the card. So we have nothing for Dynamite, as per usual. But this is the start of their residency at the 2300 Arena, where they're going to be running seven events over the next few weeks, including Death Before Dishonor. But yes, we will get Philadelphia for the next while.
How many former ECW wrestlers will be
the Sandman get one booking out of this?
I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say we might have exhausted.
What about Death Before Dishonor? Maybe that's the same man's booking.
That's his book.
We'll see.
It'll be interesting to see. Yeah.
All right. So there you go, everybody. That's it for us. And goodbye, YouTube. Continuing on to forum.postwrestling.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Postwrestlingcafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.